You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
It's Vegas. It's rock. It's Doug's. It's Vegas Rock Dog Radio. A rock and roll show all about pets, people, and pop culture. Stand by for great guests and cool advice all in one rocking hour. The phone lines are open at 702-483-4444. That's 702-483-4444. Now, let's bring on the host. Here is the rock and roll queen of dogs, Sam.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vegas Rock Dog Radio with me, Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And I am live from Las Vegas. And we're going to have a great show today. We are periscoping, by the way, in landscape mode, which is horrible. Just thought I'd tell you that.
Why is it horrible?
I think it just needs to be further away, Jim. I think that's what needs to happen. So I'm going to leave that in your capable hands to try and...
Okay.
I think if I prop it up here... There you go. I'll leave it with you. Yes, so, okay. If you're on Periscope... And hi, Alicia. I see you right there. If you're on Periscope right now... or you're not on Periscope right now, go over to Periscope. Vegas Rock Dog. Really, really easy. That's not going to prop it up, I don't think, Jim. Unless everybody wants to look at the ceiling.
Is that on you now?
Yeah, but it's not good. It's not good. I think I'll prop it up over here, Jim. Oh, my goodness. Now we've got a tissue box. Oh, this is like... If you're listening for the first time, you're probably wondering what the heck you are listening into. Prop it up on there. Crazy bunch of people trying to periscope. Yeah, I'm not a fan. Don't eat that. I'm not a fan of the... just prop it up on there. Oh, my goodness. How many people does it take to get a landscape on Periscope? I think I should have just gone with the normal portrait. That's not good. Yeah, there we go. If you're listening for the first time, believe it or not, this is a show about pets, people, and pop culture. And my name is Sam. I am the queen of rock and roll dogs. And my husband, Jim, is here with me. He's trying to be my technical guy today to try and get me sorted out with a... horizontal. It's terrible. It's so terrible. It's not good. Oh, it's not too bad, that one, Jim. That's not too bad. Oh, my goodness. Oh, hey, Regina, how are you? Oh, Lord, it's like
thumbs up.
How many clowns does it take to get a landscape periscope going? Oh, I should have
back to my spot.
I should have just stuck with the original in the first place. So if you're listening in for the first time, this is a show about pets, people, and pop culture. And today we're going to cover quite a few topics. And I've got Jim in studio with me.
Correct. And I'm also the technician.
He's also my technician today.
I'm on and off mic.
And my hair looks bizarre. I don't know what's going on there. It's freshly washed, but I don't know. It's got a mind of its own today. But it's actually a very beautiful day here in Las Vegas. Is this weather the most ridiculous weather ever, Jim?
It's really nice out today, but I'm already getting ready for next week where we're going to have a hard freeze.
Oh, when's
bizarre.
That?
Bizarre. It's hot,
happening?
Cold. It's hot in the day. It's cold at night. I think next weekend we're going to see like 30 Fahrenheit.
Ugh, don't need that.
Yeah, it's coming.
Because it
up.
Makes me worry about my plants. I worry about my roses. My roses look beautiful right now. This is the best time of year for me for gardening. Everything looks so gorgeous. So I'll be wrapping everything up next week then by the sounds of it. How fast has this year gone?
Zippity-doo-dah.
It is zippity-doo-dah. We're hoping we get some kind of a break, but we know we've got tons of work right up until the end of the year. So we've got some great news coming up, but I can't tell you just yet. I hate to do those teasers, but we do have some really good news coming up. And who was that? Someone Periscope just said that they have roses all year round, or were you asking me if we had roses all year round? We definitely have roses all year round.
You have big roses right now.
They're amazing. Shall I tell you the tip? Because I love gardening too. I love nature. I love animals. I love music and fashion. And I love my gardening. Here's the tip. Here's a tip. If you want, first of all, especially if you live in the desert and, you know, your plants have got brown, dry, crispy leaves. And said they do well here year round. Oh, it's Regina. Yeah, they do. Aren't they amazing? So here's my tip. Here's the tip. The tip's so good and it's so cheap. Get a bag of Epsom salts that you would throw in your bath and you sprinkle, it's about a teaspoon for every 12 inches of your plants. I don't measure at all. I throw mine in a jar with some rose food, and I actually put this on all my plants, and I sprinkle it around and hose it down so that it actually dissolves, because you don't want your pets to lick it up, and you will have dark green shiny leaves that will, that because you put the Epsom salts on there, it's magnesium, isn't it? It repels the bugs, which is good, and you will get bigger balloons.
Mineralizes the soil.
Yep, you get bigger blooms, really big blooms. So for a couple of dollars, you can improve your plants. I put them on my succulents, my aloe vera. I put them on everything.
Keep a little bit back when you take a bath, then, for a nice relaxing bath after a hard day's gardening.
Is this a pet show? Is it really a pet show? But make sure you do really water well so it dissolves, because, like I said, you don't want your pets licking that up. But that's how you're going to get your plants look amazing. This year, I've not had a dry, brown, crispy leaf on any of my plants. So yeah, I'll be wrapping those. Elijah knows all about Epsom salt. Epsom baths. Oh, does he love baths? I love baths at this time of year.
Who's Elijah?
Who's Elijah? Elijah's my little stalker. Regina's son. He loves my accent.
Wasn't that the name of a Dolly Parton song as well?
I don't know, is it? Do you know there's a Dolly Parton rose? And you know, the blooms are very big on the Dolly Parton rose. That is a fact. That is a real rose bush. It's called the Dolly Parton rose. She goes, Regina says, shh, don't tell Jim. Yeah, I'm going to keep my stalker to myself. He's a great kid, though, a really great kid. Let's tell you a little bit about where we are on the internet. Our Periscope, and we're running right now, hello everybody, is Vegas Rock Dog. Really simple. Our website is vegasrockdogradio.com, and that's where we push everybody to the main site to listen to the show, to see what guests are coming on, to see what giveaways we've got happening, videos. So vegasrockdogradio.com is the main website. Our Facebook is Vegas Rock Dog Radio, and Twitter is a little bit different, Vegas Rock Dog Show, no W at the end. And Instagram, Vegas Rock Dog. I haven't been on too much this week. It's been a rather busy week, and I want to tell you a little bit about what I've been doing. And our blog is therockandrolldog.com, and that's where we tell you who's coming on the show, some really good giveaways, reviews on products and services and all that good stuff. And we'll be doing a gift guide for pet owners, and we'll be choosing the best of the best to share with everybody before people start buying their gifts for the holiday season, Christmas, Hanukkah, all that good stuff. Whatever you celebrate, everybody loves a gift. Even if you're not celebrating anything, get yourself a gift. Why not? And Google Plus, you'll find me at Sam Ratcliffe. And if you would like to download our app and have us at your fingertips, you'll go to yap.us, yapp.us, and you'll download that free app. And you will also then download Vegas Rock Dog Radio once you've downloaded the app. And everything's right at your fingertips, so you don't have to go to the internet on your phone, you know, to find us, to listen to the show. It's going to be right there. So I feel like I haven't seen you all week, Jim.
I haven't, but I will not forget. You just made a quote today about go get yourself a gift.
Not for you. It didn't include you.
It's too late. It's in my brain, and I will get myself a gift.
If anyone knows Jim, they probably know this about him. This is what he says. He says to me. He says this to me every year. Sam, what am I going to get myself for your birthday?
That's right.
Because he buys himself a gift on my birthday.
Got to get a side item.
A side item?
Yes.
What's a side item?
That's a side of my birthday. I get it from someone else's birthday as well.
So, and he does. And I am weak like a kitten trying to open this bottle of green tea. There we go. That's my workout for the day, to actually twist the lid off. So what have you been doing this week? This is a good chance for us to catch up since I haven't seen you all week.
Just getting ready for concert this weekend. I've got too many songs to learn. Getting the dogs out for their walks. Should I tell them about the lady I met this morning on the dog walk?
Yeah. There's always one.
Pets, people, and pop culture. Well, you know, it's pretty much illegal to feed wildlife, right?
Yes, it is. And well, first of all, people try and feed them food that they cannot eat. It's actually dangerous
right,
to
so,
them.
So I'm walking my dogs, and I come up on a little old lady walking two dogs off leash in a park, in a public park, which, again, you know, technically that's illegal. You know, the dogs weren't crazy, yeah. But they were off leash, and sometimes that incites dogs that are on leash. You know, dogs don't mingle well if one's restrained and another one's free.
Well, it puts you and your dogs at a disadvantage.
Yeah, so anyhow, so she had her two dogs, and then so I held back, and then mine started barking, and I was, you know, working with keeping them restrained by my niece, you know, and talking to them and encouraging them. And the lady goes, you can go past because I'm feeding the squirrels.
I don't even think we have squirrels.
They're not squirrels. They're those little desert chipmunks with the black stripe down the back.
So we don't even have squirrels.
You know, and
squirrels.
They're great looking, but, you know, you don't feed them. So I said, ma'am, it's illegal to feed wildlife in Nevada. And furthermore, that's why coyotes come around this area at night, and they prey on all animals that are out and about.
That's right.
And she goes, says who? Talk to the park man. And I just thought she was not very nice.
And what did she turn around and say back to you?
And anyhow, she goes, it's illegal. Your dogs are loud.
It's illegal for your dogs to be loud.
So,
barking in a park with
that's what you deal
squirrels.
With sometimes. You know, there's all kinds of people in the world, and she just was not very nice. And so I told her she wasn't very nice or very smart.
It's the one thing that does make me panic, though, and I'm sure lots of people can relate to this. You're walking your dogs, you've got them on a lead or a leash, and you see one running up to you that's not on. It happened to us in our neighborhood.
Well, and the crazy Cocker Spaniel lady was there this morning, too. You know, the one that's like paranoid?
Yeah, I know.
She walks her dogs off leash, and she looks at everybody around with the most scathing suspicion because, like, you're doing something wrong because she's walking her cute little cockers.
It's a cute
which
dog.
Her dogs are nice. They're overweight because she doesn't feed them right, and she's crazy. But, you know, she looks at you like you've done something wrong, and I'm like, look, lady,
you know, if you walk
you're in the
her,
park with your dogs off leash. This is your problem, not
mine.
Yeah,
it makes it really difficult. What happened to Jim and I, we were walking in our neighborhood, and who's laughing at you? Regina's laughing. She knows because she released.
She knows that.
Regina I'm talking about here on Periscope.
Probably.
Regina, she is the Southern Nevada Beagle Rescue, and she does some fantastic fundraisers here in town and some incredible work. She's the person that'll say, oh, I'm going down to pick up two dogs from the shelter, and then she posts a picture and there's five with her, you know, and she picks the hard cases that get overlooked, and she has a great rescue. So that's the Southern Nevada Beagle Rescue, and it doesn't matter where you're listening, in the world to the show where you are, because you can always donate to the Southern Nevada Beagle Rescue online. So always trying to get us some donations in. Imagine I'm going to see her tomorrow, so I'm excited about that. What I was saying was we were walking down a neighborhood and we saw the big, was it a big lab?
They were a mixed dogs. Looked like somebody had abandoned them.
No. The neighbor's dogs that they let out their front door.
Oh, that one, yeah.
Like,
the collie mix. Collie or a heeler mix.
Big
type.
Dog.
Yeah, big.
And then like a Yorkshire Terrier mix, but quite a big dog for a Yorkshire Terrier mix.
Mm-hmm.
And the big dog ran up and smashed its head right into my kneecap. And I honestly thought I'd broken my kneecap. I screamed like I was getting murdered on the street. And then we were trying to save our own dogs from the other two dogs attacking our three dogs. And it was really scary. They didn't take any responsibility. They just let them out the front door. And that was that, you know. And I just saw them coming, and that terror was like, oh, I know what's happening, you know. But I limped home. Crying. I mean, it was so painful. That was unbelievable. And we have a cream leather couch at home because that's what you do when you have pets. You have cream leather. And then I saw blood on the couch, and Galax had been bitten. So we had a whole other issue, didn't we? But we did finally speak with them, and they're lucky. We're not the kind of people that are going to call animal control. We're not going to do that. We're not going to call. We don't want you to lose your dog. That's not your dog's fault. So she was very lucky in that respect, because we never would have done that. But the very next day, I drove up to my house, and Jim was on the driveway with them, and I thought, oh, here we go. So at first, they didn't take responsibility. They go, it was an accident. I said, no. I said, accidents are out of your control. I said, you're responsible for your dogs. You didn't do right by your dogs. I'm injured. My dog's been bitten, you know. And after talking to them for a while, they kind of relaxed a little bit and did apologize. And then they were nice.
And all we did was ask them, hey, let's just see the current rabies.
Yes, because
let's make sure your dog's cool. You know, show me your current rabies. Let's make sure that's all cool. Let's move on from that. You know, it didn't need to be more than that. But, you know, it's like, okay, we don't have any suspicion or mystery then. If we know that her dogs aren't you know, are vaccinated properly.
And what I asked her, I said, you know, please, as you've got to assure me that, you know, we walk past your house every day, that we're not going to have this issue again, because that was, it was so scary. My knee was a wreck. It was so painful. Saying that, though, no one came out of the house to see if I was okay. And I was screaming at the top of my lungs. So that was kind of sad. But yeah, we're not the type of people that are going to call animal control. We're not going to do that. We're not going to sue you. We're just not those kind of people. But we did have the opportunity to speak to her, and now they're like, hi! So they probably, it's probably a very good lesson. And not fair on the dogs, because, you know, it wasn't their fault that they let them out running through the front door.
Nope.
So that's our little story. Let me tell you about what I did this week. It's been a tiring week. It's been a fun week. My friend, Andy, put together a drop the mic lip sync competition for local celebrities here in town. We put it together ourselves, and the benefiting charity was Noah's Animal House, which I've had on the show before. And a little bit about Noah's Animal House. They are attached to Shade Tree Women's Shelter. And Noah's Animal House was created, one of the first in the country, for women to show up with their pets. And because if you typically you show up to a shelter with your pets, they're going to turn you away. And so Stacey created this fantastic building. You know, she raised the money for it, had it built. And it's a shelter on the grounds of the women's shelter, so that they can leave their abusive situation and bring their pets with them, because most of them won't leave if they're leaving their pets behind, because typically if they're abused, their kids are abused, their pets are abused. So a brilliant organization, first in the country, and they're leading the charge on this. So they were the benefiting organization for Drop the Mic, and it was a great night. Needless to say, I got home at 5 a.m. So that, it kind of done me in for the rest of the week. So it was a really, really, really fun night, and just, you know, it's good to be doing things for charity. So I'll be going down there to give them a check. So that was a fun thing that we did this week. And then another great thing that I was invited to be a part of was Ricky Cheese and a pet party on Channel 13, and that is KTNV here in town. And Ricky's a native to Vegas, and that's kind of an unusual thing. And she's a fantastic host on TV, and we've been communicating for years. I mean, years, but never actually met. So she invited myself and Stacey from Pet Scene Magazine to come on and talk about what we do as kind of like a resource for the pet community here in Vegas. And Stacey has the Pet Scene Magazine, and it was so nice to finally meet Ricky for a start off. And it was just lovely to go down there and share with people what we do on the radio show, how we help, and the same for Stacey as well. So that was another
we passed her in passing at events and things.
Yes.
over the years, gosh, it's like, oh yeah, look over there. You know, we'd recognize people, but that was the first time you officially met her. She likes you a lot.
You know, we connect. We just connect. You know, here's the thing. It's like being, if you're in a foreign country and then you come across someone that speaks English or speaks your language, and you go, oh, you can, like, oh, they get me. Well, it's the same, because she's an animal lover.
I told a friend.
It's the same language.
I told a friend who has huskies. I go, oh yeah, my wife was on Channel 13 on Valley View Live. And I said, oh, Ricky Cheese, she's a dog lover too. She has those. And I couldn't figure it out. He has, Sean has the huskies, right? So I said, you know, it's those like super huskies. What's that brand of dog called?
The brand of dog, super husky.
I go, they're like super huskies. He goes, oh, Malamutes. He knew right away what I was saying when I said it, because I couldn't remember Malamute.
Well, she's just like us. And I think when you connect with someone who will pay for the expensive pet photography, who gives their pets the best food that they can find, who commits to walking them at 11:30 at night, you know, I mean, it's very easy to like that person. It just is, you know. But she does a pet party on Valley View Live in the afternoons, and so I love that she features pet products, people doing great things in the community for animals, rescues. I mean, it was just really great. So now I've got a new friend. Physical friend, not just a social media friend, and we're going to go out and have lunch and some cocktails.
Is there a new definition in the dictionary now? Physical friends and Facebook friends?
People do say,
are they two that, different kinds of friends that people
yes,
have now?
People do say, oh, like, that so-and-so is my Facebook friend, because they've not actually met them, yeah.
So that's a person that you can't touch, but like a real friend is a person that you can actually touch.
Yeah, you can hang out and have a drink with and a cocktail. Mm. Well, here's the great thing. Eventually,
I don't have too many of those.
I know you don't, Jim. Well, you don't really. He has a Facebook account, but he never goes on, do you? You're not bothered.
No.
Well, The great thing is...
I'm old school.
He's old school. The great thing about Vegas, though, is everybody eventually shows up in Vegas. So I've got to meet so many of my Twitter friends, my Facebook friends, my blog post pet blogger friends, people who have pet products, because we always have the Super Zoo Expo here. So I get to connect with tons of people every single year, which is great. And eventually they become real friends. The real, real friends.
Those are converted.
Yeah.
Those are what do we call those?
No idea.
I can't come up with the word. I'm having trouble thinking words today.
Mm. Well, I do. I meet tons of people and it's great. So I usually connect and say, oh, you're coming for Super Zoo, or you're coming for this event. Or people let me know, hey, let's grab a coffee. We're going to be in for the weekend. So I love that. It's just really nice to actually connect. And I to be honest,
those are virtual physical conversion friends. So you have virtual friends, real friends, and virtual physical conversion friends.
I have to show this to Regina, to the camera. Maybe he's not drinking enough coffee, Regina. That's what I'm thinking. Maybe you need more coffee.
It's only a medium.
We're going to, I love Samba Latte coffee place here in town. And I'm so excited because, you know, I've just seen on the menu, they have a rose tea latte and they have a lavender tea latte. I love, my sisters laugh. They say, oh, you're having a tea with glitter in it and unicorn sprinkles and rainbows and butterflies. I love flowery type of teas. Yeah, so my sisters mock me, but I am going to have today a lavender tea latte at Samba Latte today. That's my goal for today. It's a very small goal. I think I'll make it.
I think so. Maybe
too.
You can even have a snack to go with
it. A what?
Snack.
I think you might. What's in that cup? Vodka?
Brazilian dark roast.
And vodka.
And Irish creamer.
Oh, you know what I saw? Before we take a break, you know what I did see advertised? Helium-infused wine.
That's ridiculous.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I must have racing gas-infused coffee.
Rock Dog Radio. Me, Sam, your host. We'll be right back. Hang on, Twitter people. We'll be right back. Bye.
At Red Barn, our pet food ingredients work overtime. They aren't just there for show. Dandelion greens work to maintain a healthy digestive system. Salmon oil works to enhance the immune system. Green-lipped mussels work to support joint health. These hardworking ingredients support your dog's active, healthy life. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free stews, the only pet food with Red Barn Bully Sticks.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, let's return to Vegas Rock Dog Radio. Here again, your host, the rock and roll queen of dogs, Sam.
Hello, everybody. We are back on air, live from Las Vegas. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio, a rock and roll show all about pets, people, and pop culture. Jim is in studio with me today. My husband.
That is correct, for those of you who do not know me.
It makes me laugh every day. What's that word that you use that makes me laugh? Where you pronounce the S in a really funny way.
Oh.
Chips.
Chips. I have a little sa decrescendo.
Do it again.
Chips.
Chips.
We have to decrescendo this.
Decrescendo. Can you tell I'm married to a musician?
Decrescendo to a niente, to be specific.
Oh, say that one more time.
Chips.
No, the description. Oh. It's way sexier.
You decrescendo to a niente.
There you go.
That's only because I had a clarinet teacher, and I had to learn those two words all the time.
Do you use it all the time?
Yeah.
When you play?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a technique for fading off a note to nothing, so you don't know where the note ends because it's very mathematical. You have to practice a lot and have a lot of control.
Oh my gosh, these are the kind of conversations we have, Jim and I. They're just hilarious, ridiculous. Okay, let's get into some topics. Show's going rather fast this morning. The members of the Scottish, there's a couple of members of the Scottish Parliament who are calling for an outright ban on electronic shock collars. I'm actually just going to give you the news on this one. We're not going to go into shock collars. That's going to be for another show. There's tons of new research that came out, and it's very interesting research, and it kind of falls in line with what these members of the Scottish Parliament want to do. And basically, Christine Graham and Kenneth Gibson have joined forces in calling for the Scottish government to ban electronic training aids for cats and dogs. So anyone that's listening, if you're not familiar with how Great Britain and the United Kingdom is set up, Scotland is a separate country. It's all on the same land, but Scotland's separate, Wales is separate. Ireland, of course, is a separate island. And then you've got England. But Scotland does have its own government. So that's why if it was banned in England, you'd have to do something different in Scotland.
Can I add to this?
Yeah.
Right now, it seems that shock collars are already banned in several countries around the world.
Yes. Do you want to list them off?
New Zealand, Wales, Switzerland, parts of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being considered for a ban in Germany.
Yes, they're already banned, I think, in Germany. I think they may already be done. Slovenia, that's Jim's heritage.
It's one of my homelands on my mother's side of the family. I am 50% Slovenian.
I know
by
you
heritage.
Are. I know you are. And Sicilian.
Very small alpine country.
I'll take him there one day. I'll take you there one day.
And we will eat pierogies.
And so, I think there's a couple of other countries on here. Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Austria, Switzerland, Slovenia.
Quebec bans shock and prong collars.
That's great.
They did that in 2014.
That's really good. Well, you see, here's the thing. We've come a long way with training techniques, and there are many training techniques, but we know that positive reinforcement training works. It works. So, but as I say, we're going to leave kind of the details and the research for a bigger show. But I wanted to tell you, and this kind of disturbed me too, is they're banning these, I'm going to use quotes, training aids for cats and dogs. Can you imagine? How bad is a cat? I mean, really. But anyway, earlier this month, Cabinet Secretary for Rural Affairs, Food and the Environment, Richard Lougheed, launched a consultation on potential controls or prohibition of electronic training aids in Scotland, which seeks views on whether the Scottish government should ban or regulate the use of electronic training collars for animals. It's a very good argument that they've got. Both Ms. Graham and Mr. Gibson have spoken out against the use of the collars for many years, and after experiencing personal use of them in Parliament, that sounds like they put them on somebody's neck in Parliament. That's what that sounds like to me, and I'm going to find out if that's
the
case.
They should do some human testing.
Oh, I've seen it. It's horrific. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen people do it as a joke on YouTube, and it was not a joke after a couple of, zaps on their neck. But it sounds like they tested this.
Could have zapped that lady this morning with a shock collar, feeding the squirrels.
Yeah, that don't exist in Vegas.
I'm feeding the squirrels.
But after experiencing personal use of them in Parliament, they decided to write a joint submission to the consultation, and Ms. Graham, who chairs the Parliament Cross-Party Group on Animal Welfare, said, "I am delighted that the Scottish Government has now seen sense and launched this consultation. I believe it is cruel to attempt to train a dog or cat by use of inflicting pain. Alternative training methods, particularly positive reinforcement, is known to be better for both the animal and the owner. The animal will associate pain with whatever is within its focus at that time, so the association can be indiscriminate and undesirable." And Ms. Graham is urging constituents to respond to the consultation and added, "Sadly, some individuals may use the device to deliberately abuse the animal." And like Jim said, a ton of countries that have already banned it, and she says she trusts that the Scottish government will concur with Mr. Gibson and herself, as well as some 74% of the public who are in favour of this outright ban, and introduce legislation in as soon as it is practical to do so. So the full submission, and this is where it's very interesting, the full submission is detailed below, because like I said, they were talking about banning it or regulating it. Here we go. "So such methods are wrong in principle, as it is cruel to endeavour to attempt to train a dog or cat by inflicting pain. She said there are positive training methods that yield great results. The animal will associate pain with whatever was in its focus, as they said earlier, and the licensing option is worthless as it could not be effectively monitored or regulated. Items can be purchased online, secondhand, and so on. Quality of the device cannot be guaranteed, and the devices themselves can vary in impact of voltage, confusing the animal and perhaps inflicting more pain than the owner intended or realized. Each animal reacts differently, as we do to levels of pain. This is likely to be highly variable across the different breeds and size of dog. Who trains the owner in the best use of these devices? Question. Each person using the device cannot guarantee to read the instructions properly, understand them, or even read them in the first place. The frequency of device usage cannot be monitored, and it will be used much more often than some than others. And sadly, some individuals may use the device to deliberately abuse the animal. And like she says, it's getting banned everywhere. So get with it, because she said using such methods in the 21st century is out of kilter with Scotland's progressive and humanitarian approach in other policy areas. And like I said, 74% of the public are in favor of an outright ban.
People that think they need shock collars to have a pet shouldn't have a pet, because in my opinion, you're not a pet lover.
Well, you're not.
You're a pet dominator.
I would never, that's right. I would never do anything that would make my dogs uncomfortable, scared of me. I mean, how can you have a relationship and a bond with your pet?
Well, sometimes if our dogs are just like going to get into trouble with something and we want to get them away from a hazard and we panic and react to go grab them, they cower. I mean, they're very
sensitive. Yeah, if you go like, ah, you know, you freak out because they're trying to, you know, they're getting into something.
You know, they don't know your intention is to save them from something that might be harmful.
This is it. So if that's a constant thing you live in fear of, even making a move, you know, every move you make, like, and it's funny because people think they've achieved it when they've used a shock collar one time and they go, all I have to do now is show them the collar. That's terrible. I mean, just terrible.
That's funny.
No, you're going to tell me that you got smacked. I know you are.
That reminds you.
I don't care about how you got smacked when you were a kid. I care about animals.
That reminds me when we were growing up, that if we would be bad after a few spankings, back in the days when spanking was acceptable.
Do you know what? Someone just posted here on Periscope. The term is called learned helplessness.
Is that what happened? Like, what would happen is our dad used
for
to...
you.
If we would... After a while, if we're going to be bad...
He's laughing about it now, but I bet you didn't laugh when you were a kid.
He would take the belt and he would fold it up and he would just show it to us.
You see? It's terrible.
Or he would... If we were about to be bad imminently... He would take the belt closer to our nose and go, smell this.
No,
do you want some of that?
It's not right.
Well, I
don't care what happened to you.
I haven't committed any crimes in life.
This doesn't fall.
I learned this. That's
Jim.
The same type of behavior as a dog being threatened with the shock collar button. It's the same kind of threat. But I've experienced that when I was a kid with a belt.
This does not fall in line with what I'm saying, Jim.
What do you mean it doesn't? It does.
It's okay for you, and it's not okay for animals.
I know, but it's just funny because
it wasn't funny this time.
We're talking about shooting electricity into an animal here, man.
I know. It's the same kind of just the sight of the shock collar trigger.
And what
though.
Did it do to you at the time? You were terrified.
I had to learn how to fake that it was a very painful beating when I was bad so that it would be a lesson, less whooping. I'm sorry, I digress.
You totally did.
I digress.
And other things.
going back, I'm still on the subject. I just...
You proved the point, though. You were frightened when you saw it.
Yeah.
Not cool. It's not great.
It's funny now, but that's because I'm a human and I can process it, but can a dog? No.
Yeah, but you may have been fully traumatized by it by the rest of your life.
Well...
You're different now.
Well, I got a while to go, hopefully. Anyhow, back to the subject.
Clarify what you feel about shock collars, please.
I disagree.
Thank you.
Prong collars, shock collars, forget about it. To be honest with you, our vet is not a fan of collars.
No.
She is
for their health, their spinal health.
For their health and their spinal health and for walking them in safety. You know, harnesses are really the way to go, period.
Yeah, she did. I mean,
you know, even collars are fat. I mean, we have some fabulous fashionable collars for our dogs, but we never lead them on leashes by the collar.
No.
Because think about it. Put a strap of leather or nylon around your neck and try to run after something and see how that feels.
I don't know what kind of upbringing Jim had.
And he's got some great coffee this morning.
Oh, my.
Make sure you bring some next week.
No more Brazilian coffee for you. Oh, my goodness.
You know these people that use the shot collar, you know what they need to do to them?
What?
Take them off the animals and put them on the human beings and give them a zap or two and see how they like it.
Try that first. Yeah, how about that? Before you can buy one, you have to put it around your own neck.
Before you buy, you've got to try.
There you go. That's right. We'll give you a free. We'll give you a free trial on that one.
And not the setting on three either, because they don't set it on three. They push it up on 10. Yeah. So give them a good zap on 10.
Do you know, we had a coffee last week, didn't we? And there was a little tiny French bulldog there. And when we looked, it had a massive prong collar on. Oh, it's all I could do to like launch myself out of my chair. I'm like, it's the tiniest little dog. Ugh. Yeah, but like I say, it's going to be a big show when we do that, because we have real research. This is not one of those like, oh, that's just our opinion thing. There's real research out there that backs this up. And like I said, training, we've come a long way, but lots of people don't know about new training. They just don't.
You know, my sister-in-law had one of those shocker things, right?
Oh.
And after about a week, they picked up the controller and this dog would like fly.
Oh.
I mean, it would run to get, I mean, as far away as it could get away.
Oh, you see, isn't that sad?
I used to call it Frankenstein in it.
Yeah, those kind of people don't need dogs.
And it's
hear me now.
It's And here's the thing, you're not training your dog. You're not giving it a chance to think. You know, I'm telling you something. This is going to be a good show when we do it. It really would be a great show.
I still think it warps their brains.
Well, some of this research, like I said, it associates pain with whatever they're trying to stop them from doing. So, for example, say you've got a fence at your house and kids come by the fence and your dog runs up to the fence and barks like crazy and they zap the dog. They're going to associate children with that pain.
Yep.
It's not a good thing. And they've seen psychological problems develop because of using them. So it's going to be a really, really good show. But I'm just so glad that this is, you know, people are taking this very, very seriously, in particular in Scotland, which is wonderful. And I think it's already banned in Wales, if I'm not wrong. So we'll check that out as well. But the more, like I say, 21st century, let's get with it, people. Let's get with it. There are great alternatives. This shouldn't be the alternatives. This should be the method of positive
caring,
training.
Caring and positive training.
Yeah, how about that for a change? You know, what a concept. But yeah, if I see anything like that, it makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, if I see a dog with a shot collar, it makes me sick to my stomach. I'm like, wow, that's probably the worst thing you can
And shout out to all those people who use them. Oh, cover it with a bandana. Oh, look how cute that dog's bandana is. Uh-huh, what's underneath it?
Seen that before.
Sneak.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, they always have a bandana on them, don't they?
Yeah.
So they're hiding from something.
I've seen it in photo shoots. You know, oh my gosh, how did they get all those dogs to sit still at once? Da-da-da-da. Oh yeah, they've got the shot collars on and the bandanas on top to cover up. So, it makes me feel sick when I see it. It just really, really upsets me. So that's going to be a good show when we do that. And we'll probably do that in the new year. There's a ton of research, so we'll be putting lots of information together. Now, let's do one more quick break. That's what we'll do. Because when I come back, we're going to talk about cats and boxes. And we're going to solve the mystery of why cats love boxes. We'll be right back. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio with me, Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. We'll be right back. And stay with us, Periscope people, Vegas Rock Dog.
It's designerpetsweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit designerpetsweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. designerpetsweaters.com.
Hi, I'm Dana Humphrey, also known as the Pet Lady. I travel from coast to pet trade shows and consumer events to scout out what the hottest, hippest, and most unique pet products are on the planet, bringing you tips and tricks from top veterinarians, groomers, trainers on how to safely travel and live happily with your pets. The Pet Lady will be in a city near you, showing off the latest and greatest tech pet gadgets, cozy comforts, and fab gift ideas for man's and woman's best friends. You can learn more at thepetlady.net or connect socially and tweet with me at PetLadyWorld.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio Talk and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Hi, this is Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs, and here's my tip of the week. Lost your pet's tag? Here's a quick fix. Grab a Sharpie pen and write your telephone number on your pet's collar.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Vegas Rock Dog Radio continues. The phone lines are open at 702-483-4444. Now, here again, your host, Sam.
Hello, everyone. We're back. You're listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio. With me, Sam, your host, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And just before the break, Jim was telling us how he was beat as a child.
I wasn't beat.
You did say the word beat.
It was part of the disciplinary process, and it was common back in the day.
It was called attitude adjustment.
Even at school, they called it corporal punishment.
Yeah. They did call it. That's terrible.
Not capital punishment. That still exists, but corporal punishment. And teachers were allowed to administer it without the parents' approval. That was the way the public schools worked.
The
nuns used to apply it at Sunday school as well.
Oh, man, no. They used to have them big sticks, buddy. They cracked the top of your hand.
Yeah, chalkboard sticks.
Yeah. Pointers.
Back in those days. That's right. Alicia says, back in the old days. So let's talk about cats. Cats experience less stress when they have access to boxes. And this is a study. Why cats and boxes mix has long been a mystery. We're going to solve it. Now, researchers from the University of Utrecht, I always have these fantastic names to pronounce,
produce,
I can't even speak, pronounce. The University of Utrecht has discovered why and publishing the results of their findings in the journal Applied Animal Behavior Science. In this study, the researchers set out to determine if boxes can help in alleviating stress in shelter cats. I love this piece of research. Felines have long had an affinity for enclosed cardboard structures, so researchers explored what would happen if shelter cats were exposed to boxes. In a Dutch animal shelter, 19 new shelter cats were identified and randomly assigned to either get the box or not get a cardboard box. 10 were given boxes, 9 were not. According to the results, those cats with the boxes exhibited faster recovery ability and adapted to their new environment more quickly compared with the group without a box, with significant differences recorded just 3 to 4 days into the study. And this is what they're telling
us.
What
country was this in?
This is in, what did I say it was? A Dutch animal shelter. Stressful experiences can have a major impact on the cats and their welfare and may cause higher incidence of infectious diseases in the shelters due to raised cortisol levels causing immunodeficiency. Mm. Research is fantastic, I have to tell you. And through several studies showed preference for hiding places and stress-reducing effects of hiding boxes on cats in combined studies. None of these studies determined if proper hiding enrichment would be effective in a quarantine cattery, explained the researchers of their work. To assess the cat, researchers used the Kessler and Turner cat stress score during the 14-day study period, and results showed that the cat group with the boxes registered mean CSS lower than their counterparts without the boxes, which meant that they had lower stress levels. There was also a minimum difference in the scores reported for each cat individually in the group with boxes, while those without showed high variance. Both groups managed to have the same CSS by the end of the study, but in terms of recovery, the group given the boxes were already well off by the third day, so they were moving very quickly and adapting. These findings led the researchers to conclude that being given a box to hide in allows a cat to recover in a new environment faster by keeping stress levels down. As a next step in research involving cats and boxes, it may be explored how a hiding box factors in on house cats and what long-term effects have having access to a hiding box might have. Additionally, research may also be done on the role of hiding boxes in infectious disease outbreaks in cats. And I think that's a fantastic study. Gosh, that's great for shelters. Get some boxes.
How would boxes come up? Who thinks of that kind of thing?
Well, they don't think of it. They already know that cats do that. So they were trying to figure out why they do that. And they love to be in a box and they like to be confined and obviously feel safer and it's their own space. And I think that's brilliant. But if a shelter's going to adopt that, then they're going to recover and get used to their environment a lot quicker. And it's probably great if you've actually rescued a cat that you have your cardboard boxes at home for them.
We loved cardboard boxes as kids. We used to make spaceships out of them.
Yeah.
Big refrigerator boxes and
forts.
Forts and spaceships.
You
so,
like
well,
that?
Makes sense.
I got a cat. My male cat
chews
the box. It's
coming back to how I was brought up, isn't it?
With that belt.
With that belt. Smell this.
You know, my male cat chews the box.
Really?
He doesn't swallow or he just chews it and spits it out.
Mm-hmm. That's probably
that
a stress reliever.
Satiates.
Is that like when we pop those packing bubble
I don't know.
Sheets?
Just every now and then, about once or twice a week, you can hear him back there just ripping the box apart.
Just felt good.
Whatever, man.
Isn't that interesting? And it's a cardboard box. I think that's brilliant. So if shelters can start adopting that, that's great. Now, here's another great thing that I came across this story. This smart harness tells owners how their guide dogs are feeling. Researchers at North Carolina State University have created a device that notifies users if their guide dogs are distressed or sick. Because dogs usually express illness or stress through their breathing and posture and heart rate, it can be difficult for blind or otherwise disabled people to tell when they're not feeling well. You never think about that, do you? You know, the device measures the dog's breathing and heart rate and vibrates the harness handle to alert the owner when the dog is sick or suffering from heat exhaustion. Dogs primarily communicate through their movements and posture, which makes it difficult or impossible for people who are blind to fully understand their dog's needs on a moment-to-moment basis, said David Roberts, and he's an assistant professor of computer science at NC State. This challenge is particularly pronounced in guide dogs, who are bred and trained to be outwardly calm and avoid drawing attention to themselves in public. So that would be, I would say, rather subtle to actually see, you know. The system can also tell when a dog is stressed or anxious, both of which are major factors in guide dog retirement. The system vibrates gently to inform owners about the dog's status. One motor by the thumb beats in time with the dog's heartbeat, and another motor vibrates when the dog breathes. When either of these motors vibrates too intensely, the owner can stop and check out their dog. The project will appear in a paper entitled Towards the Non-Visual Monitoring of Canine Physiology in Real Time by Blind Handlers at the Second International Congress on Animal-Computer Interaction in Malaysia. That's something you just don't think about. And again, it's another aid for someone who is blind or disabled to really be in tune with their guide dog. I think that's a great piece of research, don't you, Jem?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and it's attached to the actual harness, that, you know, because they have the solid harness, you know, with the solid handle on it.
Right.
We got 5 minutes there. So I thought that was a really great piece of research. You see, this is the more you research, the more you learn, the more you can have a better relationship with your pets. Because
you love research.
I do love research.
You love research and you love stats.
I do.
She loves to catch stats.
I do. I just love it. I just love it. We've got a couple of minutes left. We had a fantastic thing that happened this week in Las Vegas, and I just regret I couldn't be there because I was putting this, you know, drop the mic lip sync show together and running it that night. But the ALDF, they have praised our county commission here in Las Vegas on their unanimous approval of exotic animal ordinance. And the ordinance balances the needs of responsible exotic owners and public safety, and it's a reasonable compromise that should be acceptable to exotic owners who are housing animals safely and humanely, says Stephen Wells, and he's the executive director of Animal Legal Defense Fund. They're a brilliant organization. The ordinance better enables Clark County law enforcement and public safety officers to track how many dangerous wild animals are being kept as pets in our community, and they do out here.
They're pretty loose on
a lot, yeah. And how they're being housed and handled and treated, really important, and it's an important step to towards protecting animals and the community at the same time. So they've been working with Clark County officials for 4 years to develop this ordinance. So it takes time, which is especially important given that Nevada is one of 6 remaining states with no laws restricting or regulating the private ownership of tigers, lions. We've had chimps.
We've had chimps that had to be put down by police that escaped people's homes in neighborhoods.
In small back gardens. I mean, just terrible, isn't it, Jim? But this is absolutely fantastic. And like I say, our area has been historically been a safe haven of sorts for individuals who own wild animals. We're talking panthers, tigers, you name it. It's crazy.
Spectacle animals.
We were having a sandwich on the boulevard right by the traffic lights, and a car stopped, and there was a chimp in the passenger seat with a window down with its arm hanging out. And I have a picture of it, people. They had a chimp in their passenger seat. This town, let me tell you, people, sit on the Las Vegas Boulevard for half an hour, you'll see things you've never seen in your entire life. But it's a crazy town for that. But we are at risk. Our safety is at risk with these wild animals, where people don't know what they're doing with them. So I think it's a very good, you know, move forward, this ordinance, and I fully support that. I think that's wonderful. So yeah, some good news happening this week, and good research, and money being raised for rescues, and so that's been a very, very good week in itself, wouldn't you say, Jim?
Indeed.
Oh gosh.
You told me not to use one word answers, but sometimes
but you do
questions that only get one word responses.
Well,
I'm throwing the blame back.
On that note, it's been a fun show. Jim makes me laugh, I have to say. Remember, you can have a pet in need. Either rescue, adopt, donate, volunteer, share their information, get your cat a cardboard box, for goodness sake. Rescue your next family member and replace the word shop with adopt. And be kind to all animals. Thank you for the hearts on Periscope. So appreciate that. And we will... Oh, we have a great guest next week. Oh, if you're traveling with pets, you must listen to next week's show. So thank you, Jim. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Sam.
And Jim's stories from his childhood are quite disturbing to
me. Get the bell out.
Find us on Facebook.
Smell this.
And Twitter. And anywhere else you can find us. And today you've been listening to Vegas Rock Dog Radio, where it is all about pets, people, and pop culture. And I'm your host, Sam, the queen of rock and roll dogs. And remember, kiss those pets of yours. Good morning, good night, and have a great weekend. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Ciao.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.